Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
10 minutes to go to half time at Oriel Park, where Dundalk lead Derry City by 2-0, as we mentioned earlier on the show. 3 points for Dundalk tonight would effectively see them wrap up the SSE or Tristy Premier Division title with 4 games to go. They'd be 12 points clear of second place Cork City, and they'd have a vastly superior goal difference as well, which I think is knocking around plus 26 as things stand over Cork. So the title, without any doubt whatsoever, is heading back to Oriel Park for the fourth time in five seasons. Johnny Ward, thanks for coming in to us tonight. How does this one rank among the 4 out of 5?
Probably.
Johnny Ward, thank you.
Yeah. It's just hard to get excited about this season, isn't it? You made the point there are 4 games left and it's over. Mm. You know, and it was over going into the Cork game, I thought, anyway, to be honest. Like, Cork kind of have basically derailed. And I suppose the caveat with Dundalk this season is just that they kind of bombed out in Europe, you know. Unlike them under Stephen Kenny, they really were trashed in Cyprus. Larnaca were a good side, but I thought Dundalk were disappointing. I thought they were actually disappointing in the second leg against Tallinn at home. And I just don't think they've been tested, Richie, when you look at it. I mean, Rovers went up there and beat them in Oriel quite recently. Watched the two sides earlier in the season. Rovers matched them at Tallaght. Dundalk haven't wowed me this season at any particular point. And if you can trace Cork City's kind of quality before Sean Maguire left to since Sean Maguire left, they're two vastly different teams. Like, if you actually did a stat of Cork's record since Maguire left, it wouldn't be good, because last season they ended the season very bad. And this season as well, when you look at the likes of Limerick and Bray, who were quite weak, some fairly poor sides in the league, I don't think Dundalk have. They also lost to Cove in the League Cup. I know that's not overly relevant, but I just haven't. They've been good, but I don't think they're quite up there with the team in 2016, and I'm not sure they're even quite up there with the Cork team at its best when Maguire was playing, which was a seriously good team and had Dundalk's measure actually as well.
Michael Duffy and Pat Hoban, standout players for Dundalk this season, but I think both have to a degree levelled off towards this last third of the season, really?
Yeah, like, how many players for Dundalk would you say, oh, he's had an outstanding season? You go through the back four and you're like...
But is that not a measure of the side as a whole and the job that Stephen Kenny does, that he can grind league champions out of a side where nobody particularly is the standout player?
If the opposition isn't strong enough to really put it up to you week in, week out. I mean, when they were... I thought in Europe, like, their defence looked pretty vulnerable. Now, they've obviously lost Boyle from that 16 team. They brought in Sean Hoare, who had a shocker of a game in Larnaca, but has generally done quite well. Cleary's looked a bit kind of... He's a very much on-edge player. He got the goal tonight. Gartland's kind of still there. Gannon's been a little bit injured. And Massey's had, you know, he's had a decent season. You look at their... Chris Shields has been outstanding,
I have to say. Shields has been great, yeah.
Outstanding. I mean... Anytime I've seen him, he's one of the most improved players. You know when you say, like, a player doesn't give away the ball, like, that's fine. Like, you know, most players are competent enough to not give away the ball, but you have to use the ball, and he's using it really, like, in a manner that just shows that his range of passing has improved hugely. Like, and then you have, obviously, Dylan Connolly's been there. He's been a bit in and out. Now John Mountney's coming in. Robbie Benson's had a decent campaign. They lost Stephen O'Donnell to injury. Jamie McGrath had a decent campaign, but as you say, Hoban, he's had a good season. He holds up the ball well. But again, what's the opposition been like? I'm not wowed by it.
That's the worrying thing from a league perspective as a whole, is that for a lot of this past 2-3 years, we've spoken about the Premier Division as being a 2-horse race. When it suddenly becomes a 1-horse race, when a team has won it with 4 games, effectively 5 to go, like, it is somewhat worrying. There is cause for concern, because Cork are still by a distance ahead of third place and then beyond. So going into next season, you expect Dundalk to only get stronger, but we're going to look at the Celtic paradox here, whereby effectively you could see a team getting weaker by virtue of the fact that the opposition they're up against ain't that great week in and week out.
Well, I definitely think there's validity to that. If are Dundalk to prepare for Europe if they're playing teams that are inferior to them? And basically, there's no prize money in the League of Ireland, right? So, you know, the way with the Premier League now, you know, attendances actually are becoming nearly irrelevant. It's not particularly important what we charge or how many people show up.
How much you can get from the Asian TV deal.
Exactly. So whether you're Bournemouth or Bournemouth have, like, what, 12,000 people at their games?
Ish, yeah.
and then say at the other end you have Man United or whatever, it's not as big a deal. The League of Ireland, there's still a heavy reliance on attendances because there's no prize money and there's no TV rights money. So if you don't get your European money, you basically survive by a benefactor, or you survive by your money at the gate. But Dundalk have a lot of money in relative, like Dundalk would have 3 or 4 million in the bank. Rovers have gotten money for, like we'll say, the two big transfers, Bazuna and Graham Burke, but they wouldn't have an awful lot of money going on. So their Rovers model is kind of based on selling on players and so on, and the project as it's called. But they wouldn't be awash with cash. Cork would be doing okay, but they don't have Dundalk's money, so that's the big issue. Like Cork, as they stand, will not be challenging next season. That club will derail unless they do something very quick. It looks like the whole thing is falling apart down there quite quickly. Rovers are the team to challenge Dundalk next season. They're strongly linked with Desmond from St. Pat's, who would be a very good signing. If they made one or two more signings, Rovers have won 9 and drawn 1 of their last 11 games. They've won in Oriel, they got a nil-all draw in Cork, they've solved their goalkeeping problem, even though they've gotten rid of Bazuna. So my question is, I think Dundalk are probably already preparing for next season. The guys that run Dundalk are...
Behind the scenes are already looking at what they need to
do. Yeah, they're very aggressive. They're going to try to hold on to Michael Duffy. Obviously, that's going to be priority numero uno, I would have thought. But Waterford, potentially, if their benefactor Power, if he puts more money into them, if he stays the course, and if Alan Reynolds stayed on, he's not swayed by a job elsewhere, which is possible as well.
I want to get on to Pats, because today we saw Liam Buckley, by mutual consent, it said in the official statement, is...
The line was he resigned by mutual consent. Now that is an oxymoron of all oxymorons. You know, I just find that hogwash. Just say what happened.
7 years in charge. Like, ultimately, Pats fans should look back on Buckley's period, his second period in charge, with a lot of good favour, because he obviously won the league title in 2013. Followed that up, bridging that cup hoodoo in 2014, which is something they craved at Richmond Park for so long. The last couple of years, you kind of get the feeling that maybe Buckley stayed on probably a year or two more than he perhaps should have done, be it for his own benefit and indeed probably for the clubs ultimately as well.
I suppose there are Arsene Wenger parallels there in a lot of what you're saying, in that...
He wasn't necessarily doing a whole lot wrong.
No.
But it was just they needed something extra.
They did. I think there are lots of things. To be fair to Liam, he brought in a style of football before anyone played it in Ireland, and when pitches probably weren't really suited to it, he was true to the philosophy of playing out from the back. And when we started following League of Ireland games, that did not happen really. It was a lot of kick and rush. You know, it was winter football, and I remember them playing in Europe against Zimbrew Chisnow, getting beaten 10-0 on aggregate. But even then, they were trying to play football out from the back, and he stayed true to that philosophy. I have a few theories about Liam Buckley. In all my time watching St. Pat's, and I live quite close to Inchcore, I've never seen a bad game of football, like a proper bad game. They always tried to play. It was too pretty a lot of the time, but I think he deserves a lot of credit for that, because he was true to the beautiful game. And I would much prefer watch my team mid-table, week in, week out, playing a lovely brand of football than maybe finishing a few points further up, but kind of playing like negative every second week. I think the movement in the GAA in Gaelic games towards strength and conditioning, which eventually Dundalk latched onto, I think that was the catalyst for Liam Buckley's ultimate demise, because Pats did not catch on strength and conditioning quickly enough. I still don't think they're there strength and conditioning wise. And unfortunately in this league, if you look at the shape Dundalk and Cork, Rovers, even other clubs are in, they are in great shape, and you're just not going to get away with that. If you're talking about fine margins and 50-50 tackles, if the likes of James Duna and Darren Markey, these small players, are in 50-50 tackles against Cork and Dundalk, they're probably going to lose the ball. And I think Bucco was probably too slow to catch on to that. He was, and the irony was, he was true to bringing in young players last season, which nearly got Pats relegated. Basically bringing in Killian Brin and Owen Garvin and Yordi Balk saved them, and unfortunately put Galway United down, the team I support. And this season, the catalyst, or the straw that broke the camel's back, I was in Inchicore on Saturday. A team of kids from Bowes, played them off the park.
We'll get to that now. Three full debuts, two of whom scored in a 3-1 victory for a largely second string Bohemian side away to St. Pat's on Saturday evening. Our own Jamie Moore caught up with Ian Morris. He's Bowes midfielder and also the director of the club's academy.
9 wins in a row for the Bowes, including that most recent 3-1 win at Richmond Park on Saturday in the league. into the FA Cup semi-finals. Things are very good in the black and red at the moment.
Yeah, we're going really well. Going really well. We've really started to click together and put results. Down where earlier in the season, I think performances were happening, but results weren't coming. And thankfully, at the right end of the season, it's all clicking for us.
What's the reason for the upturn in form? Because it's been so good. You're the informed team in the country at the moment.
Not sure. Like, we've had a settled side. I think the backlog of games at the start of the season was difficult for us with the amount we were playing and the lads going to work and then trying to recover. And we weren't actually working on anything and training. And you're more or less trying to manage bodies than anything. And going Friday to Friday now, we've really just hit a purple patch and we're going well. And we're able to put into practice what we're learning out on the training pitch into games, and it's paying dividends for us.
Yeah, I know, spoke to your assistant coach Trevor Crowley a number of weeks ago, and he was just saying that he wanted to be able to work with you guys on the training pitch week to week, but because you had so many games, that was impossible. And since that's happened, and everybody's being back fit and available, it's worked really well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the proof is in the pudding, and it's certainly something that could be looked at for next season to see the standard and the quality of the games towards the end of the season to the start of the season, I think is like chalk and cheese, and it's for us it's been exceptional.
Yeah, the most recent win, as I mentioned, on Saturday at Richmond Park. I know Keith Long, the manager, made 11 changes. He played a lot of young players. Ali Regba makes his debut at 18 years of age, scores twice. A really, really good performance from him. All you guys, the senior pros, watched the game with the Bowes away fans, which I thought was really cool, and a really good league win to make it 9 wins in a row and just keep up that momentum, I suppose, heading into this Cup semi-final.
Yeah, like I said it before, I'd done an interview, I think, after the Cork game, and I was just talking about the competitiveness in training, and so some of the 11v11 games out there have been unbelievable, like the standard, the quality, and no matter what way you move the teams about, it's constantly intense, and you're constantly up against the player who you're both pushing, and that showed in spades on Saturday. The gaffer having the confidence to put in the younger players and put in lads who hadn't started maybe in the last 6-7 weeks, and the lads went out and performed the way we all know they could. There seems to be a big shock around saying the young boys are put out and this was put out, but there was no question behind the scenes with us or with the manager or with the players that played that they were going to go out and do a job and get the result.
Yeah, you're also head of youth development here, so you oversee the under-19s, under-17s, under-15s as well. So you must have been a very proud man standing in the crowd watching some of those younger ones, even though they are your teammates as well, the likes of Andy Lyons and Paddy Kirk and Ryan Graydon and Ali Regba, to name just four who you kind of work with the underage teams, and they also train with you with the first team and were playing with the first team a lot this season.
Yeah, I was saying during the week there, it's a very different feeling winning as a player to winning as a coach, and it was immensely the proud feeling. It's a different kind of feeling you get in your stomach watching the lads actually perform when I'm not involved or playing with them. So no, it was very good, and it's just gone from strength to strength. I think what we've been putting, this hasn't just happened overnight either. Like this has been coming in the pipeline years. That the 17s obviously won the 17s section. I think if they don't win on, or if they don't lose at the weekend, they go unbeaten for the whole year, which is phenomenal. Jimmy and Huey and Paul have done very, very well there. Jer with the 15s been flying. So, and then the schoolboy section, like the players coming through, St. Kevin's has been phenomenal. You see the players that made the debut at the weekend, the likes of Grado and Hamo and lads who have played for Kevin's as youngers, they're coming into the first team. So all that's tying together really well, and working hard behind the scenes to make sure that continues for years down the line.
Yeah, I watched your under-15s as well. They played Shamrock Rovers twice recently, won both games 1-0, and they were real grudge matches, if that is the right word, that age group. You mentioned the 17s, the 19s won the cup. They're also into the last eight at the quarterfinals in their league as well. And a lot of them have been playing in the first team. Bowes are doing great stuff off the pitch. Crowds at Daly Mount have been good. It's a good time to be involved with the club at the moment, isn't it?
Very good. And like I said, the groundwork was done years ago, and we're only continuing it and pushing it on. And hopefully this is going to be the start to us really kicking on and challenging over the next coming years. So it's been very tiring, but you're seeing everything come to fruition now, which is the most important.
Is this your third season at Bowes or second?
This will be my third.
Okay, so you came home from Scotland, you signed here as a player originally, and you've now become, you know, on the coaching staff as well. Could you see the early stages of what was happening then? Because you said it's been a plan that's been happening over the last coming years, but it just seems in the last number of months to have really kind of come together well.
Yeah. Like when we came in, the 17s obviously had the players like Steve Nolan and Grado and that coming through, and Jimmy's brought them through from the 17s into the 19s, and then you take over the 19s, and now they've gone into the first team. So like that pathway has been there, and it's proven that it works. So it's a lot of the hard work was done before I was here. It's continued while I was here, and the effort of the coaching and people behind the scenes and the board and the volunteers has just been extraordinary.
Ian Morris there speaking to our own Jamie Moore. The full League of Ireland podcast is available for you on offtheball.com. Johnny, like the work that they've done in playing the long game essentially is really starting to pay off. No.
I see how I noticed that before you even did. The Come unintended on. Pun. That they're playing the Keith Long game.
But the...
The long game. You're buzzing, aren't you?
I am.
You must be... Like, Bose fans are happier now than they were when they were winning the title under Pat Fennell.
It's like something you mentioned here. I won't get into the style of football that Pat Fennell played at Bose, especially when...
Why not?
I could get in. It's a long story. Playing Anto Flood up front on his own in the last league game away to Galway, we had a chance to win the league against a side who conceded 100 goals up until that point in the season. We'll leave it there. Bose this season, though, it's taken them a while to click, but now that they have, and I think the cups and the breaks that they came at added to them being able to build a little bit of momentum, because they'd pick up a win in the league, then come up against a Dundalk or a Cork, and then stumble again, as you'd kind of expect. But with the cup games, the way they fell, it meant they could build a bit of momentum, and that's led to now 9 games in a row that they've won while also blooding young players. Like, there's so many positives to this, it's not even true. And they've got a cup semi-final coming up in front of their home crowd, now sold out, so much so that Dave Tilson, their 92 cup hero, was trying to scab tickets online last night. Like, everything's rosy in the garden.
I think you only touch on it there. The positives abound from Daily Mount. You know, this is a crackpot fixture list this season, in the sense that, bizarrely enough, and I suppose paradoxically, the whole thing was based on trying to get the teams to do well in Europe. So they really rushed a load of fixtures earlier in the season, and we didn't actually do particularly well in Europe, as it turned out. But anyway, Bose had a very wobbly sort of first half of the season. And I remember talking to Trevor Crawley earlier in the season, and Trevor Crawley, everyone says how good a coach he is. Mm. And he said, I can't do anything here. Like, we're playing, we'll say, on a Friday, then we're playing on a Monday. Like, the players need rest. Like, I don't have any time to... So, Bose lost at home to Sligo. I don't know if you're at the game. But then, like, it was kind of the only time this season where, like, the fans were...
Murmurs, yeah.
Murmurs, like, what's going on here? Ever since then. So, I think they regrouped. They've had a break. But I know Shane Supple reasonably well. And the camaraderie in that squad is just, like... I don't think Shane Supple would move elsewhere for double the money he's on at Bose. Because he knows that it's something that that is literally priceless. Now, at that game... on Saturday, I know that Pats have a bigger budget than Bose, but Pats had their more or less their first team out. Bose had their second team out, who clearly have never played together at senior level before, and they just looked like they knew each other really well. The Bose first team players more or less sat with their own fans. They brought in Ali Regba, who made his league debut. He's Algerian-German who moved to Ireland, I think, when he was 6. They brought on a guy called Promis Omacheri, I think. They've a lot of kind of, they really are true to the ethos of a changing Ireland as well. But they did it on Saturday with a team, with a bunch of players on very little money, because a lot of them are kids. And what Bose are doing off the pitch with regard to, I think they're involved with amputee footballers, they're involved with Mountjoy Prison, they're involved with all this local stuff in the community. They're a fan-run club, and they are completely the antithesis to the likes of the Manchester City model or the PSG model, where basically you buy success for that particular reason. For Bose, winning on the pitch has become part of it, but feeling a part of a community club that is doing things prudently and genuinely making a difference in the community and reaching an FAI Cup semi-final has made me kind of... fall in love with what they're doing at the very least. And it's just, there's such, when you go to Daily Mount, maybe it's that you've had a couple of IPAs or whatever, and they do sell good IPAs, but
they do craft beer in the bars, we should have. There we go.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I love them. But if you go to Daily Mount, and if you do or don't have a craft beer, there's an intangible feeling of just this is a good vibe here, you know, and they may not be winning the game. And Bowes crowds have been excellent this season, even when they were doing pretty
consistently. And it's a tough thing to manage because it's a long slog, especially if you're finishing in the middle.
Michael D, Michael D, I see him here pictured actually taking part in a Mexican wave at the game today. Michael D's a regular visitor to Daly Mount, and he loves it. Like, he just, no, it's his local club,
he's
kind
on the
of.
Road here,
yeah, him and Bowes and Pats might be kind of 50-50 for him, but everyone I talk to that goes to Daly Mount loves it. And one of the reasons that this Bowes success story has been so great is because none of the players is on a wage.
Yeah. Which brings us to our next test, our text even. I'm a Rovers fan, lads, and we're miles off Dundalk. We need at least 4 new players in our starting 11, says that texter.
I disagree.
And one final one, which will sound familiar to Dublin fans. Break Dundalk up in two, lads. They're leading Derry City by 3-0. The title is all but theirs. That third goal coming from the aforementioned, of course, Pat Hooban. All this week on Off the Ball, we're smartening things up with Charles Turrett shirts. Each night you'll have the chance to win a Charles Turrett voucher worth €300. To begin with the chance of winning, tell us, what was the last venue on mainland Europe to host the Ryder Cup? Text your name and your answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll announce a winner later on in the show, and it's all thanks to Charles Turrett.
Can I give Charles a little plug? No.
You can give a plug, but you can't enter the competition.
No, I'm not going to enter the competition, but I actually have ordered Charles online. And if you are a fan of the non-iron shirts, which I think basically all men are, we don't want to iron our shirts. These lads do the job. You don't need to iron them.
True test.
And they're not expensive.
And as the line says here in front of me, Johnny, because life is better in a proper shirt. The football show's next.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.